You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and get ready for a healthy living chat as real as the food this will inspire you to eat. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am over the moon excited about today's sponsor. Friend, this is my dream sponsor. The, oh my God, is this real life sponsor? The sponsor I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl, winning card-giving holidays with her reliable tearjerkers, ending fights with soul-spilling letters left on people's pillows, and surviving college by avoiding all test-taking classes and taking only essay writing ones. No, this sponsor is not a pen or a computer or those yellow Papermate Sharp Writer number 2 mechanical pencils that you turn the tip of, which I've used religiously for 2 decades. This sponsor is the thing I've been writing up to my whole life. It's my book, my first freaking real life, will live in stores if stores ever open up again, but can live on your shelf right this second book. Party in Your Plants, which has been called in an Amazon review as the best plant-based book ever, as well as a cookbook that's way more than a cookbook, and a plant party heaven. Readers have also said that it's the best healthy living guide for your kitchen that you must purchase pronto. And so I'm here to tell you that you can promptly purchase Party in Your Plants, 100-plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart to buy yourself and your best friend and their best friend a copy today. That's partyinyourplants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that Amazon readers say you must add to your cookbook stack ASAP because it gets all the thumbs ups. Sarah Adler really makes healthy eating seem really simple, which is really good because her brand and business is called Simply Real Health. Sarah is a real food lover to the core, and she's really passionate about helping others love and eat real food with ease. She's a rock star nutrition coach, author of 2 stunningly beautiful cookbooks, the Simply Real Health Cookbook and Simply Real Eating Cookbook. She's a newish mom. I don't know when you stop saying new mom. Her son's over a year, so is that ish? I don't know. I'm calling it ish. She's a wife. She's a Lululemon ambassador and a really lovely, inspiringly real human being whom I'm genuinely honored and borderline unhealthily obsessed with calling a friend. This is her 2nd episode on my podcast. Her first one, episode number 41, is every bit delicious as this one. And I went into this interview, if you even want to call it an interview, with 0 notes, which is unprecedented. But I just knew that we would naturally hit the goods because nothing that comes out of this woman's mouth is not good. And I was right. This is one of the most wonderful chats I've yet to publish. Oh, and I can't remember if I said this or not, but seeing photos of her kitchen inspired me to put a pot filler in my new kitchen. So talk about her being the ultimate influencer. And she may or may not have also influenced me to want to have a baby soon, or at least start to think about eating more like a baby. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
I am so excited to be here. Overly excited, probably. I love just getting to hang and talk with you.
You're one of my
favorite. It's a treat.
I'm already talking over you. You're just one of my favorite people in the whole world, and I'm delighted. And since you were on the show last, you became a Lululemon ambassador, an author of a 2nd cookbook, and a mother. And one thing I just love, love, love about you is your glowiness that just makes everything seem magical. So I want to know, what is it about you? I told you you'd love the first question. How do you answer that?
Me? Like, what is it about me that makes
How are you magical? So magical?
That's so funny. Thank you. That's so sweet. A lot of days I feel like kind of a hot mess, you know, and I am sitting here wearing the same scrunchie that I have worn and the same sweatshirt for the last 9 days in a row. So that's really kind that you think it's glowy. It may just be a little sweaty. but I thank you. Like that's, I'm trying to think of like the way to describe it. I think I am just very, I'm not trying to be anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I know who I am. I know what I like. I know what things serve me best. And I just do those things. Like, I don't apologize for the way that I do things. I don't apologize for ideas or the things that I want to create in the world. And I always kind of feel the freedom to like do things my own way, if that makes sense. Like, even with like a category, let's take motherhood, for example, like that was one of the things for me, I was always kind of like afraid in some senses to become a mom because the way I saw it being done, just in general, like society, culture, like with people that I know, it was always kind of like, I was like, oh, but I don't really want that. Or, you know, like, I don't really resonate with that. And I just, you know, kind of had to be reminded that like with most things, you can see how other people do things and then also take the parts you like and then leave the rest, you know, and just kind of like create something that's going to work for you. So that's really how I try to live my life.
That is literally the most perfect answer. I had no idea how you were going to answer that question. Open-ended questions like that are the absolute worst questions to get asked. And I was just curious where you take that. And what I just deducted from that is that you just live in joy. You just live in authentic, real joy. And that is why you seem so radiant, because you're just at home in your soul, in your body, in your heart. You're just, and that's rare. That's why it's so magical, because you're just like pure. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Like that is, I just am always kind of looking in the little things like every day and in the bigger things of like the things that are important to me are the things I pay attention to. And the things that are important to me, I either create like joy around them or like find the little joys that exist. And like, that's what I savor, you know, that's like kind of where I live, is that place surrounded by that. And that goes with like thoughts, emotions, everything. And it's not that I obviously am a woman and I have a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions. My husband can tell you that. But like at this point, I feel fully comfortable just like feeling all of it and then always coming back to like, okay, so what can I do about this? Like, how can I get myself back? How can I come home to myself? How can I like get more grounded or more stable? So even in like the ups and downs of life, I feel like that is a part of how I live. And what I teach is like simplifying everything so that you can really like find more joy in that process in itself.
Well, you're practicing what you preach and it's showing. And what I found is usually we arrive at this place and then we teach it because we were at once not at that place. We talked in our first conversation about what you learned in Italy. It was Italy, right? Not France. Italy. About food and how you were, you know, pre-Italy, you were eating all your bars and crap food, trying to be thin and diet. And then you went to Italy and saw these people just lounging, eating pasta and wine and like, you know, living life. And then you're like, oh, maybe I should just eat like a normal person. That's the spark notes. But totally. How did you do that in all these areas of your life where you just, you know, learn to make it so intentional to come home to yourself and to find joy? And just how did you get to this place?
I think it's such an interesting thing because so many people want that, right? Like that in like a bigger sense in the bigger parts of their lives, but they don't realize that like the easiest, fastest way to get there is to start doing that with your food.
Yes.
Like it sounds so silly sometimes to some people when I make that connection, but I'm like, no, it has to start with your food first, because food is something that you have to do every day. And so if you can find a way to like simplify that for yourself, so like whether it is eating like plant-based or it's just figuring out like what is going to work for you, but then you keep that simple and easy so that it's not this like hectic, stressful process. And so a lot of that just like comes down to learning about food, you know, and like eating stuff that is real and eating stuff that your body can handle. And in doing that, that just simplifies so much else of the other like crap kind of, you know, mm-hmm. just like when you focus on that part and keeping things simple with your food, it has a way of just simplifying the rest of your life too. And then it's so much easier to apply that philosophy to everything else around you, because food is like the most grounding, nourishing force in our life. And so when you feel stable and steady, like, you know, your blood sugar is stable and steady and you like actually have nutrients coming in your body and your cells are fueled, it's so much easier to look at other things with more patience and a little bit more of like, okay, what things matter here and what things are totally clutter. And like, you can apply that to your closet and you can apply that to the people in your life. You can apply that to emotions or like energetic boundaries. Like, it just teaches you, I think, a way to look at the things that matter and then quickly get rid of the things that don't.
I said this on our first chat and I'll say it again now. I feel like we're doppelgangers in a way. Like, my whole thing is it starts with food, because food makes us feel stuff. And if you want to live your most energetic life, start figuring out that food gives you energy, align with that, and then fly away with all your energy and rearrange your life to give you the most energy. I'm all about energy. You're all about simplicity. Mm-hmm. And grounding. But mm-hmm. it starts with both of us with the food.
Yeah, totally. Ah, right. And it so just, cool. And I think for both of us too, that's like part of our stories is
yes.
like that we were looking and searching for those other things in all the other parts of our life. But once we got food figured out in a way that worked, in a way that was actually nourishing, and in a like long-term way of looking at your food, like how you say, and in your book too, it's like, these beautiful like desserts and like you don't have to sacrifice living like a fun, beautiful life that has all those things. Like it just comes down to how are you looking at food in the totality of how you're looking at everything in your life.
Yes. That's so rad. So I guess you started with the food and then, mm-hmm. you know, layer by layer, you just started simplifying and finding that grounding, non-hectic, stable, steady joy in all these aspects. Because you talk a lot now about, you know, skin routines and morning routines and now being a mom and being a business owner. So I suppose you've taken that food stability and applied it one by one to all the different areas in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a funny thing because sometimes I'm like, well, people, I wonder if people are confused because I'm like, it's food. You know, like I'm like, I have 2 cookbooks. I have a blog. It's mostly about food. But now it also, this same philosophy applies to everything else, like skincare. Like you also want to be able to recognize all the ingredients of what you're mm-hmm. actually putting on your skin. Same thing with food, you know? So it's like the parallels to me. And I think now truly like in our culture where wellness is such a thing now where it never used to be a thing, but like people do understand that connection of like, yeah, it's like everything that is in your environment, the way that you do, it's like your health is a physical, mental, and emotional thing, you know? And like, even a couple of years ago, that wasn't even a message that most people could relate to or understand. But I think now just with kind of the pace of our life and the pace of our culture, it has become so much more apparent because people have started to kind of maybe struggle with some of those other things like mental health or depression or anxiety. Those things are at an all-time mm-hmm. high. And when you look to go address those things kind of back to the core, it always requires just like going back to the basics of like, how are you eating? How are you sleeping? Like, are you drinking enough water? Are you moving your body? Like, those are all the things. So like everything does come back to your health, I think, at that kind of in that kind of like big pivotal way.
Yeah. So what would you say is the biggest thing that you are like unteaching people right now? Because you're right. I mean, when you and I both started, remind me, what year did you start your blog and your whole business? You wrote your first book in 2015.
Mm-hmm. I started in 2012.
Okay. So the mm-hmm. landscape in 2012, it was like, I mean, you could buy almond milk in stores, but it wasn't like vegan was probably, and like the only way to really get kale was probably like go to some woo-woo hippie mm-hmm. vegan place, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So you were like introducing the people to this stuff.
Yes. Like real food was like a concept that people were like shocked by. They're like, wait, what? What do you mean?
That's just so funny.
It's so funny because, well, so I started my business in 2012, but I had been like coaching and teaching and like seeing one-on-one clients, I think since 2009. So yeah, wow. Just that whole phase, like things have shifted, I think, and changed so much in a great way. Like it's such a thing. I'm so relieved to not have to explain to people, you know, that what real food is and how it's different than like the packaged stuff or bars that they would buy or, you know, so
what is it now? If you're not telling people, hey, this is what real food is. This is mm-hmm. what crap is. What is it now? What do you think like the biggest thing that people need to learn or unlearn is?
Mm-hmm. I think so much of it, like for me right now, my passion is in teaching people the connection between their food, like their physical health and their food and their mental and emotional health. Because I think those are the two things that like people can kind of get away with not caring about their food or what they eat until they get to a point where like mentally or emotionally they feel off or like they're not able to kind of be fully present in their life, you know? So like either like something is just like misaligned and they're not sure why. Mm. And so I feel like it's almost like backwards teaching of like, okay, so you're struggling with this because your thoughts and emotions are negative all the time, or you're always looking at worst case scenario, or you don't have any like boundaries when it comes to like social media and TV's always on and the screens are on late at night. And like, of course you're going to have trouble sleeping and be anxious when your brain is always on. You know, so then it comes to like, let's work this backwards. Like, let's talk about a night routine, you know, that actually gives you a little bit more space and capacity to disconnect, to actually feel your feelings and your emotions and your thoughts, because that is like your mental and emotional health are so key to how you experience your life. And so I think right now that conversation feels more relevant than ever. I think as mm-hmm. like technology increases and just like all the things that we kind of go through, it's just more and more apparent that like people feel a little bit empty inside sometimes mm-hmm. if they haven't kind of done the work to determine who they are, like what they want to create their life about, instead of everything always being a reaction, if that makes sense.
So it's like, that's so fascinating. So you are now helping people kind of reverse engineer it. So maybe people aren't coming to you, or you're noticing in the ether that people are complaining about their digestion or their heartburn or this or that. They're complaining about their anxiety.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And you're showing them how to use food and food routines really as like a tool to calm their mental emotional state.
Yes. Because they're so connected, but so many people just don't see that connection, like right off the bat. And we're never taught that connection, I would say. Like, definitely. It's a general societal thing. We're never really taught that those two things are like crazily connected. So yeah, that is like the thing that I'm teaching about. Like, if you simplify your food, you simplify your life. And like, everything gets so much easier when you do that. But we may have to work backwards, like address the thing that you find the most annoying and the most painful now is all these other things that are going on. But yeah, if we can kind of tweak those, it always comes back to like, and what are you eating? You know, like, and if you're taking care of your body in all these other ways, it only makes sense to put a little bit more intention into your food too.
Mm. So it's like a way you can just train yourself to start living more simply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that makes sense in looking at all the time you spend sharing your morning and evening routines. I mean, I feel like people are so obsessed with your morning routines.
I know. It's so funny to me. I'm like, it's really not that it's really not, I don't know. Like to me, I'm like, it's not anything crazy. You know, it's not like taking ice baths or like doing it, you know,
no,
like
it's simple, what I do, but, obviously. Can but, you walk us through it? I mean, just like, I know that's silly. I mean, it used to be a thing like 5 years ago where everyone was like, oh my God, tell me your morning routine. And now no one really asks that question anymore. But really, people are obsessed with your morning routine. So you have to tell us. You have to tell us what all the hype is about. And I think the hype is about, let me answer my own question, that it's simple and it's intentional. And again, this just goes back to your calmness and stability is so inspiring for people because, I mean, I feel rarely ever calm and stable. I'm a freaking crazy bean running around town. And I get, so I'm so drawn to you because you just, when I watch you do your morning routine, even though I probably don't even really do it myself, I just feel my nervous system relaxes just watching you.
That's so funny. I love that. It's funny. I'm laughing because like I have gotten, like I get messages like that all the time. Like, I just like watching you do your, you know, face, you know, like your face oil at night. It just is very relaxing
that's
to watch.
So
I'm like, oh,
weird.
Okay. That's great. You know, that's really good. That's
we
how I feel
so
when I'm doing
odd.
It. So.
We're so weird. It's true. Like literally just watching you like walk down the street brings me joy. I'm just like, oh, wow. It's so fascinating. Okay. So tell us
so
your morning
funny.
Routine, this
so, yeah.
famed
so, I
morning
think
routine.
This whole thing I think truly started with when my second book came out, because the second book is all about like creating rhythms and rituals in your life, and that food is the number one rhythm and ritual that is like the easiest place to start. And it's just about like creating little like pockets in your day that you can actually connect to yourself, like have enough quiet to kind of just check in with yourself. Like, how am I doing today? Like, what do I need a little bit more of today? What do I need a little bit less of? And it does not have to be elaborate. And I think that's the thing that most people have this misconception is like routines, rhythms, or rituals are like only things that people do who like live on a farm, who have hours in their day, like that can just leisurely cook, you know, when they would want to, and there's no real pressure or time constraints. And like, my message is that that is not true at all. And I think as busy people and as productive people and as like humans who want to kind of optimize their life and like fully live to like their biggest capacity, that we have to have forms of rhythm and ritual in our day. And that food is the easiest way to start introducing those things. So like having a little tiny morning ritual, like at the very basic, like bare bones, it's like making my matcha in the morning. That is my ritual because it's quiet. It's like grounding. There's something about the process of it that just gives me a few minutes. Like even when I've had a newborn, even when I, you know, have been like a new mom, even when, you know, I'm in the middle of launching something, or even when it doesn't matter. It's like those 2 or 3 minutes, it does not have to take a long time in order for it to be time that is intentional and that's quiet and that helps ground me and just find like peace and little moments of joy throughout like the craziness of the day. And the more often that you know that you have those things to look forward to, it just becomes, I don't know, just part of the way that you live. Mm-hmm. And taking that time and space so that you're not always living in the chaos and the noise, but you have to actively carve those pockets of time out for yourself. So in my second book, I just talk about like use the time that you are cooking, or if it's not cooking, whatever you're doing for food, like use that time around your food to like take a few minutes to just like check in with yourself, you know, like put your phone down, like take a deep breath, like very basic things, but we need those reminders. And I think that is food's role in our life, right? Is to help us pause. And
I think it should be food's role in our life because it arguably it's not mine. And I mean, I'm coming clean right now. Like the amount of Zoom calls that I've been eating on in the past few weeks is it's embarrassing, but it's like, I don't have time. I didn't carve out the time, you know, to prepare my food and be able to sit with it before the meeting. It's like, I live such a frantic life on my own. It's my own choice. You know, like if I know I'm recording a podcast at 11, I will go for a run at like 9, finish at like 10:50. No, what am I? That's the wrong time. whatever. I'll finish 10 minutes before. I've shown up to Zoom calls in a sports bra. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing? So did you have to teach yourself these rhythms? Like, is it now? I'm sure this is your natural state. But like, did you have to train yourself to be this grounded?
Yes. Yes. I would say that it's like taken years. And I would say that each thing, like each, I don't know whether to call it, like, I guess just like each change in season or like in my different seasons of life, like it's been something that has just gotten stronger and more needed. So like, as I add, you know, as I like add more things on, I don't have the, I don't know how to phrase this the right way. It's like every minute counts. Like every minute counts even more than it did, like with every year and with everything that I am wanting to do and trying to do. It just requires being super intentional with as many minutes as possible, because that's how I maximize, you know, like that's how I squeeze things out of the day and get all of the good stuff and all the things I want and feeling the way I want to feel in my day, in my life. Without, so it's like, it enables me to do all the things I love without feeling like stressed out all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's like this longer term view of health, like requires that we have these little moments, because if you go max out all the time, like you end up with adrenal fatigue. And I only know that because I've done that, you know, like when I think we talked about this before, but like I, in my, after the first cookbook came out, because I did that
in like once, 5 minutes.
Yeah. A self-published, right. Like I, beginning to end was 1 year from the time I started it, shooting, production, everything to the time it was out.
And by yourself.
By myself.
Like I did mine in 2 years with a massive team of humans.
Right. So like that, after that, I had massive, you know, it's like I had like adrenal problem. It took me like a year to recover because I was just pushing and going and like trying, you know, like being productive, and it was really fun, but it also then took me a year to recover. Wow. So it's like, and then it messed my hormones and it messed up my thyroid and like, you know, so it's just, to me, I think it's, it has been learning those lessons the hard way to then be like, okay, how can I do and create all the things I want to create and do all the things I want to do with my business and my life, but in a way that's more gentle and more kind and more long-term. I think that for me, that has been the answer. And so that's why I feel so strongly about helping encourage other women to do the same, because we can't live like that at that pace and still take care of ourselves and still take care of people around us and still like be present in our lives, you know? So it's, that has just been my solution. I think there's probably lots of ways to go about it, but that has just been my solution and the reason why I then wrote a book about like food and rhythms and rituals for this second book, because it's like, that has been such a helpful thing, no matter what season I'm in, no matter how things are stressful or not stressful or peaceful. It's just like that always brings me back if I can be consistent at it.
How did you settle on the word rhythm? I've never heard that associated with food and wellness. I love it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But where did that come from?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think the way that I was thinking, like ritual sounds very prescriptive.
Yes.
And it sounds very like you do the same thing and it's pretty rigid and you mm-hmm. have to do it that way. And there's a way, there's a right way, and there's a wrong way. Whereas like rhythm to me gives a little bit more flexibility to, and that's what it really is. It's like the flexibility for you to wake up every single day and be like, just check in. What do I need a little bit more of? How do I need to tweak things today versus yesterday? How does my body feel? How does my mind feel? Like what things are going on right now? And I think rhythm to me, that word just feels a little bit more like you can make the judgment call. It can be flexible. It can be fluid. It can go with you. It can mold with you, whatever you need it to be, versus being something that is very type A and rigid, which is also how I used to be with everything in my life too.
I don't see you as type A at all.
Yeah, I'm not at all now. In fact, we laugh. My husband like dies of laughter when I tell him like all the things I used to do and how I used to plan and how I used to cheat, because now I am like, I call my, I'm like not even type B, I'm like type C or D. Like I don't even know. Just, you know, so it's like, he's like, I can't even imagine you like that. But I definitely used to be. And it was all about like control and just, I had like a terrible relationship to food. It was like very rigid. So that distinction in. Like, I'm so glad that you picked up on that, because that's exactly what I want it to be and feel like, is there's a difference between like a rhythm that goes with you and can be flexible versus a ritual for some people can mean just rigid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, ritual sounds like militaristic and like rules and like if you, I don't know, it just seems more intense. And rhythm is like beautiful. I love it. It's like flowing like the ocean. the rhythm of the sea. Wow, I love that you like untype age yourself. That's awesome. And it sounds like you untype age yourself starting with food again, going back to this, right? Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just so rad. This is just so neat. So you had this tight grip on food and then you learned to release your tight grip and, you know, be more chill. And then that flowed into every aspect.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a natural progression too, like, and you'll find this too. I think as a woman too, the kind of the further you get into your life and the things that you do and create, you start just tapping in. I mean, this gets kind of woo-woo, but like you start tapping into just like more of the feminine side, like, and I mean, not sexual orientation, but like the feminine energy versus masculine energy. And feminine is just so much more like about the flow and ease and like going with the rhythm. Like we all have, you know, like a menstrual cycle and rhythms that are connected to the moon and connected to nature and all of these things that you start to kind of see like the wisdom in that, I think, over time. And so I would say probably in the last like, you know, 2 or 3 years, especially I think becoming a mom, there's been definitely a shift in that too, of like being able to tap into more of that in a long-term sustainable way versus it being just about, you know, productivity, efficiency, like doing the most I can, maxing out every single day. So I think that definitely is like an undertone in, you know, in my work over time. And I think you will probably find the same thing too. There's like a pretty magical power that comes from also just getting quiet and like leaning in and not having to be just overly in control or like, you know, overly anything really.
Hi, hi, hi. Just popping in here to remind you of our sponsor, whom I adore. It is not groundbreaking information that I love Sun Warrior's plant protein powder. You've seen it be the main ingredient in my protein waffles 4 years now, but for a few weeks now, I've been really slurping up one of their newest protein blends called Lean Meal. Truth is, it's summer. It's been over 80 degrees Fahrenheit and like 70 to 80% humidity every day for the last few weeks. Our home is in the woods on top of a hill, and it gets so hot that I get lower body sweat just sitting at my desk. I will leave the exact lower body sweat location up to your imagination. So my appetite for like big meals has been meh in the heat. And that's why I've been really loving adding 2 scoops of Sun Warrior's Lean Meal. I have the snickerdoodle flavor and the chocolate flavor, of course, but they also have salted caramel, which I haven't tried yet. But I add it to nice cold almond milk in a shaker cup, and I sip that baby up as like a mini lunch. And it tastes like a yummy milkshake. And it's a very solid product, okay, with 15 grams of organic protein powder from organic and fermented yellow peas. It has organic superfoods, the equivalent of 1 veggie serving and 1 fruta serving, billions of probiotics, literally, a whole medley of mushrooms, and organic green coffee bean for a lovely little energy boost. That's a real great addition to my summer days. If you want to get your tan hands on Sun Warrior's Lean Meal for 20% less than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it, just use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. That is PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. Now let's check back in with Sarah. So are you a little into, you know, the moon stuff, the moon woo-woo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you a lot into the moon woo?
A lot, yes. I don't talk about
you
it
don't.
A whole lot
no.
because I feel like it's like my people sometimes are not quite there yet, you know? But personally, I do, yes.
So does that look like new moon manifestation lists and stuff of that nature?
No, it doesn't. Because again, I'm not like into things that, you know, make me feel confined or pinned down, or if I don't do it, then like something bad's going to happen. It's just, I just really like knowing about like when the new moons are and when the full moons are, because I think those are days that can feel just like heightened emotionally. And so it's just super helpful, because I think I've been tracking and knowing and learning more about like the moon and the moon cycles for 3 years now. And since I've been doing that, it just, there is such a like peace and a calm that comes from that, because it's always the days where I'm like, oh my God, I just feel off, or like, I just feel weird, or like, why are things like feeling just, or I'm getting kind of, I have like headachy or something like that. And it is always, I'm not kidding you, the day of the full moon, or like that's the day before or the day after. And it just is such a calming thing to know. It's like, you're not
crazy. In control.
There's other forces at work here. And if you just are able to like, I don't know,
surrender,
it's okay. It could be a weird day. Yeah. That's fine. And then you're like, but I know tomorrow it will be better. Or in 2 or 3 days, I'll feel kind of back to normal. And you just give yourself a little bit more permission, I guess, to like not get too worked up about it. You're just like, okay, it'll come and go. So I have found that super helpful just for like business stuff, for work stuff, for like personal stuff. If I'm just like, I don't know, feeling more emotional. And now it's been funny because there is this, this connection to sleep too. So if it's all like, I'm not like sleeping very well, and I look, I'm like, oh, it's like always around the full moon. And now that I have a baby, the same thing happens to him, which is crazy. So I start, I've like talked to like moms and on my like friend text thread and stuff. It's always like, they're like, my kids didn't sleep either. Mine woke up at night. I'm like, you guys, it's because it's the full moon. And they all like laugh at me. Of course, they're like, oh God, here she goes again. Yeah, here's Sarah with her woo-woo stuff. But it is just like a fascinating thing.
Wow.
You look into it. Yeah.
I just added the moon thing calendar to my Google calendar. Yeah. So we're making moves here, making moon moves.
I was going to say, I love about like the people that do like new moon rituals and intentions. That, like, I just love that as a general practice of like every month you're kind of just checking in with yourself, you know, whether it happens to be on the new moon, the full moon. Like, that's supposedly a more potent time to do that. But I think any time you can do that is great.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a good reminder, I think, to like check in with yourself, to like maybe your reminder to journal, or, you know, something that just is helpful to check in with that stuff.
Okay. You've said check in with yourself like a dozen times.
What does
checking in with oneself look like to you? Because that's part of your morning ritual. That's what you keep saying, or your morning rhythm. You use that time, you make your matcha. You also have to tell us what's in your matcha, but you do all this stuff and you keep saying you check in. What are you doing? Are you talking to yourself? Are you looking in the mirror? Are you sitting in meditation? What are you doing? What does that look like?
I love that. No one's ever asked me that. I love that question. So
that's what I'm here for.
Usually when it's something like making my matcha, it's just like questions to myself in my head.
Wow.
Like, how am I doing today? What things do I have coming up today? Is there anything I'm nervous about? Is there anything I feel anxious about? Like, how's my body feeling? Like, do I need to do a workout that is more like high intensity? Do I need to get on my spin bike today? Do I have a lot more energy, or I need to like stretch it out? Do you know? So it's just kind of like checking in my physical body, checking in on my mental body, my emotions, my thoughts, like what I'm sort of processing. And then it's just kind of like gearing up for the day. Like, okay, what to expect here? This is my general schedule of the day. So what do I need to make sure that I do to like take care of myself? If I know that I have back-to-back meetings and they go all through the lunch hour.
Yes.
Well, you know, like it's like that little bit of thought of like, hey, what to expect? How can I like make sure that I have the things that I need before just like going into the day blindly? So that's all I mean. It's usually that. If I have more time, it would be journaling. I just find that, to me, that process is just super helpful. I process things so much easier when I write them out. Some people are like auditory, and so it helps them to talk it out. Some people, you know, it's writing. So I think that part is knowing yourself best. But honestly, like first year of motherhood, like the time to journal has not been as consistent, you know, as I want it to be. And I know that that will come back. It's just a phase, but it's things have to get pretty overwhelming for me. And then I know I have to bust the journal out.
For
the
most part,
yeah. The most part, it is like just asking myself questions, just rhetorically inside my head.
Wow.
Just making mental notes like for the day ahead, and then things of like what my body probably needs. Like even to this point now, it's like, okay, I know that my body needs more grains today. Like it needs, you know, like I feel the need to like have more grains versus have more fruit. Sometimes it's like more fruit than grain, you know? So it's, yeah.
Wow. How do you know you need more grains? You just feel it in your body. I mean, I feel that way with greens a lot, you know, or fermented foods. I'm like, yo, we need some kraut up in here.
Yeah, totally.
Or some booch.
Yeah. Yes. So I think that it's also just an interesting process too. I think being like health minded and going through pregnancy and then birth and then nursing and all of that, like all of that just fluctuates what your body needs every day. So that's also been like a really good way to practice, like not just eating and doing the same things every day, because my body needed and tolerated totally different things, you know, being pregnant than like nursing. So that I think has also helped and like provided a really good testing ground for me this past like year and a half to, like, you know, kind of like tune into that a little bit more.
Did being pregnant and then being a new mom change your relationship with food at all, or your body?
Yes. Relationship to food, yes. But I think my experience was a little bit different than most women in that I was just so sick for the first two trimesters. So the first 6 months, I threw up every day. I could not keep anything down. And so it was like this very weird time where I felt like so grateful to be pregnant. But I also was like, it was the worst that I've ever felt physically in my entire life. Oh. And it was like nothing would stay down except for Annie's gluten-free mac and cheese. Like I'm not kidding you. I would try, and I was shooting the second cookbook at the time, and I would just have to pause to go like excuse myself to the bathroom and had to plug my nose as I was chopping kale, because I literally did not eat one green thing until the last like 2 weeks of pregnancy, because I couldn't keep it down. So like that was a really interesting time, because I was like, is my worth coming from how, you know, I always prided myself on like, I eat so well. Like I was almost like a little cocky going into it, to be completely honest. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm like so healthy. I take care of myself. Like
you healed your PCOS.
It's like, I'm like, I've healed from SIBO. I've healed from PCOS. Like I got this thing. And then it was just like, it just took me down, you know, and people would be like, how do I keep eating healthy during pregnancy? I'm like, honestly, I have no idea.
Ah, I
have no idea.
That.
I couldn't do it. And the only thing I would like try to make mac and cheese with like real cheese or, you know, real almond milk, and it would not stay down. So the only thing that worked was, yeah, the box stuff. So
you should get sponsored by them. Have you reached out for a partnership for baby number two? It'll be your pregnancy sponsor.
So yeah, in that time, I just had no joy with food, like at all. And I think that was one of the harder parts for me, is that I had worked so hard to find joy with food and to have a good relationship to it. And that was just something kind of just totally out of my control at some point. So it was learning to kind of surrender to that and just do what I needed to do in the moment and be patient and give myself grace. Yeah. And then in the process of then after birth, I just was like never hungry when I was pregnant. Just everything sounded gross, like nothing. I couldn't get excited. I ate because I had to, not because like I wanted to. And then it all came back with the best, in the best way of then like once my son was born, then afterwards it was like, I was so hungry, because when you're nursing, you are starving like all the time. Your body's like on high drive. And so that was like where I kind of like rediscovered some grains and like, oh, this is like so fun, because you need to eat a lot more. And then my joy came back like twice as much, you know.
Oh,
I was like,
that's what, great.
Trying and like have just having so much fun with it. So, and now I get to do that same, like feeding him. So
yeah.
I think it just goes along, I think, exactly what we're talking about, like being able to surrender, like a little bit of like, there's so many just different seasons and different phases that you have. And so just like trying to make the most of it, and be kind to yourself and patient with yourself in all of them when you're not in control is just like a really big life lesson that I keep having to learn.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, you being who you are, shooting your second book, you know, Real Food Lady, you know, such a beacon of hope and inspiration for so many people. And then you're sitting there like secretly, you're like, you know, eating your Annie's. Mm-hmm. How did you not get mad at yourself? Yeah. Did you start and then talk yourself out of it? Because I would be like, God, you're such a phony. What's wrong? You know, I would feel so much like guilt or also worry for the baby. Like, God, shouldn't I be feeding him kale?
Yeah, totally. I felt all those things.
Okay, and I think you're normal. Like, okay, you're human.
Yes,
great.
Yes, I felt all those things. And I think the really interesting part is in the beginning, like you're not telling anyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like that part for months and months, I don't think I told anybody or like told anyone in my audience until I was like 4.5 or 5 months pregnant. And so at that point, it's just like, you just feel phony because you're doing, it's kind of living this way, but then you're not ready to quite share that yet.
And so were you posting like old food because you weren't eating?
Yeah.
Right. I'm just like getting in the nitty gritty here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So like posts are going live on the blog that I had to have like my assistant look at and do because I could not even look at it. I couldn't even look at my computer. Because it would make me so nauseous. It was so,
and
it was,
you were writing a book.
Time. Wow. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. So I just think that there's, I don't know.
Well, it works because your son Noah is the literal cutest little boy on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't. And I've read your whole journey about you got diagnosed with PCOS, right? Without, you know, after a little bit of a struggle, but then you got pregnant super fast after working on that. Like you had like a long shot and then you did it and then it worked.
Yeah, totally.
So he's like a little miracle.
Yeah. He is a little miracle baby. I know. And it's pretty, I mean, and in that process too, it's like the things that I was doing to heal all came back to food, you know, and like that mental and emotional part of like, what else is going on there? You know, how else can I help just optimize anything? So yeah, like just the general theme today, it's like, it all always comes back to food as the place to start, right?
Yes.
It's not that it necessarily solves everything, but that's always a really good place to like start, like foundation-wise.
Well, speaking of foundational starting food, what was Noah's first food?
Oh, avocado.
Classic. That's classic. Like the thing, right?
Classic, yeah. Avocado, sweet potato, and then salmon.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that. Funny. It's like his favorite food.
Favorite food.
Fancy.
It's so funny. I feel like I hated salmon for like until I got way older.
I hated it until I was like 27.
Yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, that's what he loves. I mean, that it has been just like such a fun thing, like seeing him get to experience food. And it just kind of like takes you back again to like simple joys, like watching him eat and try a banana. It's like he is losing his mind. He's so excited and he screams, you know, he's just like can't handle it. And it makes me, when I eat my banana, you know, I'm like, he's right. It is so good.
He's like, right. So you start so screaming.
Right. I'm like, it is so just like, it's so magical. Like food is so beautiful. It's so like delicious. And, you know, I think just being reminded of those things has been really fun too.
That's awesome. It's funny. A lot of people ask you, because you do this brilliant thing where you ask for questions. Do you do it daily or weekly?
Because I feel like weekly.
It seems like it's all the time.
I know. It's every week I do it.
The
day, depending when I have the most like mental energy and capacity, because it does take a lot out of me too. I'm like a, I don't know. Do you know like the Enneagram?
Yes. Yes, I'm a 3 wing 4.
Okay. I love it. So I'm a 2 wing 3, which is like the helper wing achiever.
Oh,
and
that's
so
right.
Depending like where I'm at is like, helper, I try to pick the day where I feel the most, that I can like give and start, like that I just have the time and capacity to serve people. So yeah, it's so fun. I do questions every week and it's so fascinating the things that people ask. I'm like, sooner or later, they're going to run out of questions, but they never do. They like come in hard. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Every week I get overwhelmed by like, okay. I have to like answer all these now. But okay, yeah, people love the food stuff.
It's yeah. So it's so refreshing to know that you like block off like a day to do it and do it so intentionally, because like I look at you and I'm like, how the hell is she doing this? Not only do you give like long answers, like there was a time where you did 5 pages for an answer, but totally. You put it on this beautiful background with perfect photos. And I'm like, you know, obviously from my end, I'm like, how is she doing all this? Like I can't, what? But to know how intentional you are, you check in. And so it sounds like you're saying like, am I feeling like two-ish today, right? Like, am I feeling very helpery? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so intentional and awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have to, like, and you know this, in order to run a business, it's like you have to be like very careful about your time and your energy and like your capacity for things. And there are certain days where you feel like you have a lot more and there are certain days where you don't, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, so like being able to be again, like flexible and just like listen to what's actually going on. I think we're always getting signs really of like what we need a little more of. So, or less of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I try to run my life.
So some of the questions that just crack me up that I'm just going to like rapid fire you. Just, there's like 3, so don't worry. But this tongue scraping question, what is up with the tongue scraping question and your teeth?
Yeah, I get the teeth question probably every week. It's so funny. So I don't know. People ask me about my white teeth and
and your eyelashes.
And my, and eyelashes. And I always have to tell them I'm just hairy. Like, I'm like, I just am hairy. I
and
just,
it used
like,
to not be cool. Eyebrows.
Right. Totally. And so now I'm having my moment. So thank you. No, and then I get the tongue scraper all the time. People are like fascinated. That's part of like my morning routine.
Yeah, tell us about that. Cause that's like old school. I mean, when I first discovered the wellness stuff years and years and years ago, I was tongue scraping and then no one talked about it anymore. So I was kind of like, I'm over it. But then recently when we were moving, I found my tongue scraper and I've been doing it, but I've been doing it wrong, I think, cause you say you absolutely tongue scrape before brushing your teeth. Yeah. I do it after. Tell me why I should switch.
Yeah, I think just before you want to get all the stuff out of your mouth. If you're brushing, it means you're like moving it around kind of. I actually should probably look at like what the traditional method is. But from what I remember, the traditional method is you do that right away. And then the brushing basically does like the cleanup duty after.
I always thought I've done brushing first. And then I was like, whatever's left goes to the, you know, we should look it up We just do what floats our boat, you know?
Right. Totally.
Okay. So that's intention. That's another part of your morning routine. Mm-hmm. Another question. Okay. Your teeth is just, you say nothing. You just eat real food.
Like nothing. I honestly just eat real food and I use a natural toothpaste that has no fluoride. Right now I kind of switch it up because I'm trying to find one that doesn't have stevia in it, but I can't really find one. So
yeah, you hate stevia.
I know. Well,
I like it. And I always think of you when I have it and I'm like, God, I'm the worst. I feel so bad.
No, it's no judgment. It's just, I know for me that it has caused migraines in the past. So I know for me, it's like definitely not a good thing.
Okay.
But in the toothpaste, I've been using it lately because I can't find one right now during this time of like quarantine that doesn't have it. So I've been using the Dr. Bronner's brand and that is what I do. But I do know because my mother-in-law is a dental hygienist and she has been for like 25 years that it's like your mouth is a direct reflection of your health, just like your skin, just like your skin is. But there's like so many studies that have been done that people who have like healthy gums, healthy mouth, like AKA they're eating real food, their immune system's high, their digestion is good, their mouths are healthy. The bacteria in their mouths is healthy. It's just like our gut system. And so then like, that's how you get like whiter teeth. But like people don't like that answer. Cause I'm like, well, it comes from eating real food, taking care of myself, sleeping, drinking water.
They just want a discount code and a swipe up.
Right. They're like, they want me to say like, I'm using, you know, the white, these white strips and, you know, Like, but I'm not. I have done that in the past, probably like 10 years ago, but right now I don't.
I did that for prom.
Yeah, exactly. I was like high school. I definitely did. Yeah. But
yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
The answers are so boring. People, it's not really what they want to know, but this is really, the answer is nothing. It's
so funny.
It's boring toothpaste, you know?
It's also funny how often people ask you, like, do you ever indulge?
I know.
What do you feel about that? I mean, I just think the answer, like, it's kind of like you said that I say in my book. It's like, I just say, when you're eating real food, dessert is just sweet food.
Right.
It's just real food that's sweet.
Yes, it's very funny. You're so right. Because when people ask that, I have to, like, it kind of catches me off guard. Like, I'm like, what? Like, I don't think about it as, like, indulging.
Right.
Or like, oh, I shouldn't have this. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's so different when you're just like, well, it's real. Like, it's sweet. But, like, if I want something sweet, then that's what I'm going to have. And I just don't think about it that way. But I'm like, yeah, I eat chocolate probably every day, you know? Like, I don't feel bad about it, though. So I don't even think twice about, is that indulging or not? Like, it feels good. It tastes good. It's what I want. I know that I'm not covering up any, like, emotions or, like, you know, I just am, I guess, far enough in my journey to know what my body needs and why and when. Mm. And I feel fine just listening to that.
Okay, we're unpacking that for one sec. Your body needs chocolate, A is the question, A. And B, what you said, I know I'm not eating it to cover something up. Wow. Yeah. Whoa. Tell me more.
So this is so funny because this is like exactly what my program is about. I run a program once a year that like goes way more into the mental and emotional parts of food. And
it just closed, didn't it?
Yeah, and it just closed. Rats. Yeah, it just closed. But it's, to me, like, that is the most fascinating work, is like helping people figure out the way we've been wired around food, that our brain is hardwired almost to basically use food for anything other than hunger. And so it's helping people learn like what that is. So when I say like, I'm not eating chocolate because I feel sad or because I'm trying to distract myself from not feeling an emotion that's not happy or that I feel overwhelmed, or it's like, we have all of these feelings and thoughts and emotions every day. We all do. It's part of the human experience, but the way that we have been taught to deal with those things is to cover it up, to numb out, to not pay attention. And like that can lead to really unhealthy relationships to food, basically using and or abusing food because we don't have other ways of like processing our emotions and like feeling feelings and dealing with them and without being scared of them. So yeah, I guess that's where it's like, I don't feel bad about having a glass of wine or chocolate or dessert because it's a very intentional choice. You know, it's like, that's what I want for this reason. But I just, again, I'm like, I hate to use the word again. I just have to check in with myself before I do it out of autopilot of like, why do I want that?
What are some answers that might come up? Like, why do I want chocolate?
Because I'm overwhelmed at work and I want a distraction. Why do I want chocolate?
Then you don't eat it in that situation, right? Like, right. Ideally. Right. Okay.
Right. Or like, why do I want that glass of wine? Because I've had a really long day and I just want to relax, you know? And I'm like, that's not the same as having a glass of wine because it's out of joy, because it's on date night, because it's like out with friends. One day we'll be able to go back out again, but like just like checking in with where you're at, like the why behind you want it. So yeah, that's always a part of what's going on in my head and what I am teaching like all my clients and people to do as well, is just to become like a little bit more aware of all those conversations that are happening. So it's not this like, you know, oh, I feel stressed out, so I immediately go like eat cookie dough.
Or I don't even know what I feel. I'm just eating this without, you know, because I'm not even asking how I feel. And this is what I love you say about breakfast. And you're just like me in this, that we don't succumb to the pressure to eat it. You know, like there's so much like training and programming. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You know, you got to eat breakfast right when you wake up. Eat it before you go to school at freaking 6 a.m. as a kid. You know, like I remember being a kid going to school and I was like 0% hungry.
Yeah.
But I was like, guess I got to eat my cereal. But you say, you know, you just wait till you're hungry.
Yeah, and that freaks people out.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you can't do that unless you're eating real food. Because if you're not eating real food, your blood sugar is truly all over the place. It's like spiking and dipping, spiking and dipping. And so for most people, they do, like, if they're eating the normal American diet, they do have to eat first thing in the morning because their blood sugar is crashing and they're probably not hydrated. And, you know, so it's like it goes hand in hand. Again, it comes back to food. Like if you start with food, you're eating real food and you're eating stuff that like grows from the ground and comes from the earth and that your body can process, then your blood sugar is so much more stable. And when that's stable, like you can actually listen to your body, you can listen to your hunger and figure out what hunger even means. So it's all connected, you know, like it's not
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you can just like jump to the like, oh, one day I'm just going to intuitively eat and I know exactly what my body needs. Mm. It's like, it has to start first with food, but a lot of people find that like boring or, you know, they're like, oh, I already eat healthy.
Right.
And like without really thinking through of like, yeah, but like, is it all real food or is it just like, AKA the healthy food? Cause there can be a difference in that.
Wow. How do you not get tired of talking about the same thing?
I know. I'm so fascinated. Like I do. I like, this is truly what I think about all the time. What I like feel like was my journey to process through as well is like, I was just so obsessed with everything healthy, but it has taken me this long to actually get to the root things, you know, like to actually understand how my thoughts and emotions are connected to my food. And like, understanding how to not numb with food or numb out, how to actually like feel feelings that are coming up without being overwhelmed by them. And to me, because once I found that, it's been just like this power source in my life to like to feel calm amongst the storm. So like that's so it awesome. All comes back to knowing yourself well and knowing yourself as best as you can. And I think that everybody has that capacity if they're interested in it, but they kind of have to be interested in doing some of the work that's a little bit deeper, you know, of like definitely eating real food. And then once you start that journey, it's like, then it progresses over time. It doesn't have to be immediate, but it progresses over time. Like that's what my program is about, is like, we can speed this process up in 6 weeks, or you can do this over the course of your life where you're slowly can become a little bit more intentional about all the things that you're doing and how that makes you feel and how those are all connected. So I never get tired of talking about it because it's always, I feel like it's such a gift, you know, and I want to give that to other people because awesome. Finding that for myself has changed my life and changed how I approach everything. And, yeah, I just honestly, I could talk your ear off for probably it's 3 more hours amazing. About it. So
it's awesome. And now you're moving into little baby food because you're writing a baby food and recipes guide, right?
Yes, which is, I have to tell you, that is something that people used to tell me that all the time before I had like kids. And
tell you what?
They would be like, I can't wait till you have a baby and you can just like figure out the food stuff. It's so overwhelming. And I would be like, you guys, there's so many mommy bloggers. Like there's so much out there on baby food. I don't understand why this is like so hard. And so now that I'm in it, I just keep laughing to myself that I am going to put out like a baby food guide because I'm like, this is the thing that I've resisted for most of my career. People saying, well, I can't wait till you have kids and then you'll see. I can't wait till you have a family and then you'll see. Like it's actually really hard. It's complicated. It's overwhelming. Like it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of guilt you feel. It's a lot of this. And I just was like, I don't know. Again, like I don't really buy into that. I think if you eat real food, you can keep it simple. And so that has been my whole process this year has confirmed that. People are so overwhelmed about baby food because they are so overwhelmed about adult food. But they don't know.
Boom. You put that in your book. Put that in the guide.
I'm like, but they're willing to learn about it for their baby or kid where they have never taken the time to learn themselves. So I'm like, that's why this project excites me is that I'm like, this is actually, it's actually the same thing, teaching people about real food. Because once you understand it, it can be simple and it can be fun and they can have food that like they can eat the same way you do. It's just, you have to have that framework and that same philosophy. And so I'm just really excited to teach more women and moms that it doesn't have to be hard and it can actually be fun and there's ways to be creative and it doesn't have to be this like very confusing process. And it is. I can confirm that because when I got to the point, I was almost like, whoa, I don't even want to dive into this. This is like very confusing and you don't want to mess it up. Like,
yeah, babies,
they're so pure, you know, and it's like their bodies are so pure. It's like, what would you do if you're starting from complete scratch? How would you want to feed your body? You know, it's like, whoa, that's like a big thing. So yeah, it's been something I didn't necessarily mean to do or think that I would be doing, but now that I've kind of had some time and able to talk to more moms and get feedback, and people go crazy about this baby. They're like, what are you feeding? I'm like, salmon. They're like, what?
What?
What? How do you think your baby eat that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it's real food. So, and it's high in fat, you know, good omega-3s, and that's good for their brain and health. So I don't really double think, you know, it's not, I don't really worry about what other people say to do. It's just, is it real food or is it not? Is it nutrient dense or is it not? Is it, you know, so.
Amazing. I mean, I'm not 0% surprised that this is something you're doing. I would be 0% surprised if your next book was about family or kid eating real food, you know, and it's so cool because, you know, that saying like sell them what they want, give them what they need or whatever it is, you're going to be teaching moms how to take care of themselves.
Right.
Maybe they weren't willing to do the work because it was only for them, whatever.
Right.
But now
right.
they're willing to do it for their love, but they're going to change themselves. And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And their families and like that generational impact, you know, it's like you have to think about that even just like decades out and years out of like what that changes when you are able to teach from a really young age about food that is wholesome and nutrient dense and also just simple and kind of back to the basics. And so that is like what really excites me is like imagine a world like that, you know, where people grow up with that or grow up with parents that are familiar with that, that changes the whole family dynamic, that changes people's relationships to food, that changes ultimately how they process their thoughts and emotions. So that to me has been really just like fascinating and interesting and just like something I'm so excited about, but also is so overwhelming to do and put together because it's like, it feels even more important.
Yeah.
Because of that. So yeah.
Well, I'm excited. When the minute I have a baby, you're my guru. Or I get pregnant or want to get pregnant or anything in the realm. But here's a serious question. How do you get any work done when Noah is that cute? I just don't understand.
I know. It's very, I know. He's so funny. It's just, it's so the best. They're just,
I love that that's
just,
a question.
I know. I love that that's a question too. It's so like, I don't know. It's so fun to have, like, I feel truly so blessed to be able to do both, like to be able to work from home. My mom watches him like a couple days a week for a couple hours just so I can like get focused stuff done. And so that has been the biggest, truly the biggest blessing of my life. So that has totally helped. And so it's just been really nice. Like just we're home. I can go down for lunch and like say hi and, you know, I don't know. It's just been like a really, it was a tricky balance and I'm still figuring it out and there's no perfect way, but overall it's just been like the best thing to just have like his energy. Baby's energies are just so good. They just remind you like of joy, you know, and just of like funny, simple things that you kind of let all the other worries of the world just like melt away because you can be there with them. They're so, they're like little Buddhas. They're just like so present in every moment and everything's like such a big deal. And yeah, so it's been really fun.
Even bananas.
Yeah, bananas are the best thing in life.
So cute. Okay, well, I could talk to you for like 7 more hours. So we should probably do another chat in a future date. But gotta ask you, your favorite plant right now, what is it?
Ooh. Favorite plants. Dang. I feel like in this like quarantine, I just have been so appreciative of everything that's fresh, like everything.
I mean, you've been quarantining for longer than anyone. You're in Seattle.
Yeah.
How long has it been for you? Like 12 weeks?
I think so. I don't know. I don't really count. I'm like,
how are you doing? But I mean, it's your norm because you work from home.
Right.
But your husband?
Yeah, now he's working from home. So he's in my office now because he's a real loud talker and he's on the phone all day long. And so
what does he do for work?
He's in sales.
Okay. So then yes. Hence the talking. So
he manages, he manages a big sales team. So he's like on the phone all day long.
Oh my God.
So we moved him into my office and now I'm up in the bedroom and then Noah's downstairs, like with my mom or I'm with him. My mom helps about like 3 hours when she comes.
Wow.
So yeah. Wow.
Balancing out. So
we're all here. We are all
Gang's
here.
Gang's all here. Amazing.
But it has been like really sweet. There's just like little moments that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Like yeah. If we weren't quarantined. So it's been great. Like now I have Kyle's making his own smoothies for lunch. And so.
Wait, that was a question. Mm-hmm. Lunch. Smoothies. Mm-hmm. You support eating smoothies for lunch.
I do. I fully do. And I make them like smoothie bowls. Mm-hmm. Like I think some people are also freaked out. They're like, oh, of course you just have like a smoothie for lunch. Like that's so healthy. I'm like, yeah. But I put so much stuff in it that like helps me feel, again, just grounded and good and energized. So like I love, it's just the easiest thing to make in the least amount of time that makes me feel good. So that's what I do most days.
Why would anyone roll their eyes at you?
Well, they're just kind of like, oh, that's so healthy. Or like, how do you stay full from a smoothie?
How do you stay full from your smoothie?
I like put a lot of avocado. I put a lot of greens. I do like sunflower butter or almond butter, like nut butter. I do granola on top. Like I do blueberries in it sometimes and spinach and banana. It's just like everything goes in. And then I just blend it with a lot of ice and a little bit of water. So it's like thick. So I eat it with a spoon, which I also think helps.
Oh, yeah. Because then it's real like, food. Feels like
yes,
food.
And I'm not, if I'm just drinking something, I could just suck it down and not even notice. But I think the act of even just like eating it with a spoon makes my brain just like slow down. It's hard to like eat it super fast.
Yeah.
With a spoon. So I don't know. It just works. It's just easy. I know it works. I know my body feels good with it. I add a lot of stuff to it on top, hemp seeds, chia seeds, again, whatever I feel like my body needs that day. So.
And so Kyle does this too.
Yeah. Now he does his too.
I love it. Family it's tradition. So okay. What is your favorite plant?
Oh,
I stalled plant. Enough for you.
Blueberries right now.
Mm, good yeah. one.
It's like hope of spring and summer.
Yeah. What are you most excited to do post quarantine?
Oh, travel again.
Yeah. Did you have any trips canceled?
I did. Yeah. Oh. We were going to go back to Mexico. So that's definitely out. Oh. Luckily, we had a huge trip that was like planned right when it started and it was supposed to be to Fiji. It was like a work trip for my husband and I was going to go. We were like lining up childcare as our first trip without him and then canceled because of coronavirus. Yeah. And then the reroute went to Hawaii. So we actually got like, this is also so lucky. Like we got to Hawaii, we're there for like a week. And then the day that we got back was right when everything shut down. So wow. It was like, we had like little like last hurrah. If only we had known how much that would have like meant or been. Yeah. But we always, can you believe that? Like Hawaii was just, like a month ago or 2 months ago. Yeah. Like that was crazy. Life changes so fast.
So fast. What would you say is the most silver lining-ish thing of quarantine for you?
Oh, I think just all the like family time. Mm. It's just like so sweet. Even with my husband and like Noah, their relationship has changed so much because like Kyle is around, you know, yeah. Like he's around in the morning. He makes coffee. He's on calls. Like Noah knows he's there. And so he like busts through the door and he can hang with them at lunchtime or, you know, like we can all take a walk after like, cause you know, once the clock hits, you know, 5:30 or 6, it's like, there's no commute time. They're like, he can just be home and with us. And so that has been really special, like just so much more bonding time. And like, thankfully we like each other.
That's good. Yeah, that's great. Also, Noah's so young. So I'm sure this is just such like when they're that young, isn't like every week, like a year, like things are changing. Totally. They have new skills.
Totally. And we're like, I have so many of my friends have like 2 or 3 or 4 kids. And so that's
four?
A whole different, yeah, that's a whole different phase. Like if you're in homeschooling right now and your kids are used to being at preschool or home, like that is so Wow. Like, we're in this very kind of peaceful
phase. Yeah.
One kid, and like, he's such a cute age, and he's like, nothing has really changed for him. So I feel really lucky. Yeah. Timing, I guess, of it.
Okay. Are you, any books that have inspired you that you want to recommend, or are you not really reading right now because life?
You know, it's so funny. I normally am always like reading a business book or like always kind of like learning and growing. But since this has started, I have been only reading like fiction.
Ah, I get that.
Yeah. And it's been really nice. Just like at the end of the day, like in the bath, like that's what I read. I read a little bit every night before I go to bed because it just helps me wind down. And so it's been like kind of fun to like rediscover. It feels like guilty pleasure, but it's not, it shouldn't at all be.
I get that. Like you're like, you know, reading used to be like, oh, at least I'm advancing. I'm not wasting time. Don't judge me. I'm advancing. But now it's like, wait, no, it's just pleasure.
Yeah. So I've been loving Reese Witherspoon's book club, Hello Sunshine.
Oh,
she has
nice.
Like some really good recommendations for like fiction stuff if you just like want like a good story. So that's what I've been doing. I think I'm on like my third fiction book right now.
It feels so good. Nice. Self-care. Yeah. Okay. And your book, silly question, wherever books are sold, right? That's where people should go to get it?
Yes. And yeah, usually, like most often it's Amazon, but yeah, wherever books are sold and indie bound too, if you have local bookstores and you want to support them. Yeah. But second book is called Simply Real Eating. So
perfect.
Yes, it'll be right next to your book.
Yes, so I know. I can't wait till stores are open and we can just hang and we can take pics of our books together. That'll be awesome. So where should everybody go? I mean, you have your program that just closed, unfortunately, but I'm sure a million people are like, I want more. What can they get more of from you right now?
Yeah, I mean, everything. The blog is that it's simplyrealhealth.com. I'm on Instagram at simplyrealhealth. I have tons of Instagram TV videos, like morning routines, the night routines, all the things that we talked about.
And rhythms
and rituals. And right now in this quarantine time I've been doing, I wrote like a 2-week pantry meal plan. So helping people use what they have. So it's like one trip to the grocery store that can last you 2 weeks. So 14 different dinners.
Wow.
And they're all easy to make, plant-based if you want, easy to add protein or meat if you want. So that has been like a huge hit for people lately, just taking off one stressful thing of their plate and giving new ideas, I think, for cooking. So
I want that. I'm going to check that out. I mean, I love everything you do. And sometimes I want to go buy it myself, but then I feel awkward that like, you're going to see my name and be like, like, I don't want to just like, I just feel like it'd be so awkward if you just like, Talia purchased the pantry guide. Like, I don't know why I think that'd be awkward, but
No, it wouldn't be at all. Please. Like, yeah, it's just something small. It's, you know, it's like $27, but it gives you like a plan of action. You can keep it. You can pull it out at any time that life feels like busy. So that has been fun to do and see. So yeah, everything's there at Simply Real Health. Anywhere you'll look.
Yes. And you do a lot of Instagram like shadily. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. You have a lot of videos.
Yeah, I do. I've been working on that this year. I'm just like making sure I do more videos.
It's great.
And show up and also just show up like not totally perfect, but just like as I am.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
which is perfect. Sorry.
But like,
if you ever have a bad day, just call me. I'm here.
Yeah.
I got it. I got all the compliments for you because I adore you. Well, thank you so much. I know this was 5 hours and I deeply appreciate your time.
I loved it. So great to chat.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Do you know that song by Little Big Town called Girl Crush? I've got a girl crush. Hate to admit it, but... Yeah, that is me and Sarah. She is just simply a really great woman. And this is exciting. She just launched her Simply Real Baby Guide like today. It's a done-for-you month-by-month guide for busy mamas on feeding your baby real food, and it looks and sounds so good that I want to buy it, and I have zero babies. But really, like she says, people are so overwhelmed about baby food because they're so overwhelmed about adult food. So maybe it's worth me getting anyway. Well, you and I can both go buy it or peep it at simplyrealbabyguide.com, and you can get the spark notes of this episode and a hell of a lot more that makes healthy living both real simple and a real party over at partyinmyplants.com/190.